Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton became the third outspoken critic of President Trump to face criminal charges in as many weeks. Bolton Thursday was indicted on 18 charges, including unlawful retention of national defense information. He's denied wrongdoing. His attorney says the documents were no longer classified. ABC legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer says the Bolton indictment is more detailed than the charges against James Comey or Letitia James.
Is nullifying how John Bolton can say, I didn't know. There are multiple arguments here that the prosecutor is making that shows that he had knowledge and willfully committed this act. I think kind of cutting off any avenue for an argument.
Today, President Trump hosts Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House a day after the president spoke with Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours. And the U.S. struck another suspected drug vessel in the Caribbean. As ABC News has learned, three B-52 heavy bombers flew for hours in Caribbean waters. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The TV show Bosch has been off the air for a few years now. The show about an L.A. homicide detective played by Titus Welliver, who is not afraid to bend the rules, was followed by three seasons of Bosch Legacy. Earlier this year, there was another spinoff called Ballard that starred Maggie Q, and rumor has it there is a spinoff in the works for Jamie Hector, who played Bosch's partner on the original show, Jerry Edgar. The Bosch extended family is about to give birth again with a prequel series called Bosch Start of Watch. The show is in development with actor Cameron Monaghan in place as the younger Harry Bosch. Like its predecessors, the show will be set in Los Angeles, but in the year 1991, and focus on Bosch's character as an LAPD rookie. The show is currently in development at MGM+. The Bosch franchise is based on crime novels by Michael Connelly. Fun universe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Last chance for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where it's do or die for the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. Milwaukee losing again last night 3-1, now down 3-0. The Brewers only have 9 hits in this series so far. The last time that happened in the postseason was in 1906. First pitch tonight at Dodger Stadium, 7:38. NFL, the Packers head to Arizona tomorrow to play the Cardinals. Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with some controversial statements, saying the NFL has a double standard for calling penalties to protect the players on offense and not on defense.
Who are we kidding? You want to fine guys for putting their head down, but you can be engaged with an offensive tackle and a guard can come put his head right into your head. And look how many times that's on film. Guys putting their head down and trying to come clean your clock. But you can't do that to offensive players. Get a $50,000 fine. I might get a fine for this conference.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with sports on Mike Clemens.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness. A powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers and Buckeyes square off in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we'll ask our Week in Review panel all about the protests planned for Saturday against things like trying to have your political opponents arrested, troops in the streets, rampant inflation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9.
Government shutdowns and more. 107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. A few scattered showers around, mainly during the first half of the day. Otherwise, you can expect gradually increasing sunshine and warm conditions for mid-October. High temperatures in the lower 70s. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid to upper 40s. Currently, it's 59.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo, along with you this Friday morning, and I'm going to try to make sure it's a fun Friday. I know the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, is going to be having fun with her dogs and Buck this weekend. It also looks like it's going to be a great weekend to do some tailgating as we kind of get out of this fall cold snap and see some temps in the mid-70s. But we'll get direct details on that from Stu Muck in just a little bit. If we look later on in the show, we will be focusing on energy as the Fabulous Farm Babe is joined by Terry Pernsteiner of Focus on Energy. He's an advisor with them. We are also going to be recognizing one of our century farms here in Wisconsin out of Brown County. The Largescheid family will be joining us to give us some of the history of how this farm has been able to stay around for 100 years. But before we get to that, we're going to look at something that is really hitting close to home within agriculture, which is the soybean markets. Obviously, we know we have no buys from China yet, but that does not mean we are not trying to find new markets. Stephanie Hoff is going to be joining us next with the United Soybean Marketing Board Director, Nancy Havizanjan. They are going to talk about trying to find a new market in Africa. Make sure to stay tuned in because we got a lot of excitement coming up today.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Nigeria is the largest aquaculture fish producer in sub-Saharan Africa, but it's still not producing enough to meet demand. The country needs more than 3 million metric tons of fish each year, but current production is less than half of that. And one of the biggest challenges, affordable, high-quality fish feed. That's where U.S. soybeans come in. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. There's a new partnership between the United States soybean industry and Nigeria to help strengthen fish production and boost access to protein-rich feed. United Soybean Board Director Nancy Havizanjan, a Wisconsin soybean farmer, tells us how this collaboration not only supports the young aquaculturists abroad, but also builds long-term demand for U.S. soy. It's a timely conversation as our largest soybean buyer, China, is boycotting U.S. beans.
Even when China came into the market
we made a concerted effort to make sure not to neglect either our other customers around the world, such as Japan is our largest high-volume buyer of soybeans because they buy so many high-grade, high-value-added non-GMO and identity-preserved soybeans. So Japan is very important to us, too. But we've been building markets around the world for soy for since before the soybean checkoff was in effect. So we don't neglect any of our markets. Yes, we are missing our largest buyer, China, and so it is important to find new markets. But regardless of whether China is buying from us or not, we're always servicing all our customers around the world and looking for new ways to add value to soybeans.
Well, Nancy, the latest venture then in making sure that you have other markets purchasing U.S. beans was your trip to Nigeria. So tell me, what is your role with the United Soybean Board and why were you on the flight to Nigeria?
Well, I'm one of three Wisconsin directors on the 76-member United Soybean Board, the National Soybean Checkoff Board. So we administer the national checkoff. And the checkoff is there to make sure that we're investing in marketing and markets around the world and opening new markets and also a lot of research in how to use soybeans. The other important reason I was asked is that in Africa, more than 70% of the farmers are women. So it is important to have other women farmers there to talk farmer to farmer.
And why are they interested in soybeans? What does their industry look like where they need beans?
Yes, Nigeria is the largest country in Africa. It also is a major aquaculture, that's fish farming. It's a major aquaculture market. There are a lot of backyard fish farms. So they're just little, sometimes they're just a hole in the wall, in the ground where they're raising fish in the backyard. Sometimes they're concrete structures, but they are raising fish. It's a country that needs more protein to feed their markets and feed their people. So if we can show them how to do a better job of raising their fish more efficiently using soy, it's a win-win both for us because we're developing markets for soy and they're developing markets to feed their people.
What are the attributes of U.S. soybeans that can make their aquaculture industry more efficient and more effective?
Well, you know, we know that U.S. soybean growers care a great deal about the soybeans that we raise. We raise them sustainably with as much care as possible. They have the proper amino acid content that we need to feed fish. So it's really important for us to let our customers in these developing markets like Nigeria know that when they feed soy to their fish, they can do it more economically than they can with either fish feed, which is in limited supply, or some of the garbage that they're feeding to their fish. So they can do it efficiently, effectively, and build markets for us while growing their fish better, more healthy, and quicker.
United Soybean Board, you don't directly sell soybeans, but does your work overseas lead to sales?
Well, that's why we're developing markets everywhere. Nigeria certainly is a developing market. This is not a market that's going to make a big dent in our soybean sales tomorrow, but it's a longer term payoff. So that's what we've done everywhere, whether it's Central America or South America with poultry and with hogs and with fish. And now in Nigeria with fish, growing their fish market. It is an early market, a developing market. They don't have a lot of infrastructure to bring in large quantities of soybeans yet, but we hope we can grow the aquaculture market and the demand for soy meal for fish feed as the country of Nigeria grows their infrastructure to handle both the additional fish and the soy meal.
Nancy, you've been a longtime leader in soybean marketing, not just at the federal level, but also the state level. I was wondering if you had any success stories for us of maybe work you've done in the past similar to this, either overseas or here domestically, where you've seen a market open up and become critical for U.S. soybeans.
Absolutely. When I look back at the things, I've done, I took a lot of trips to China before 2020, not since. But Japan, again, is a really high value market for us. They like our soybeans because they know we raise them sustainably. They know that their identity preserved, and they can get the soybeans they want from the U.S. So that's been a market. Costa Rica, their tilapia markets, you know, you can go into Costco and buy tilapia from either Costa Rica or Indonesia, both countries that I visited and saw the aquaculture. So we hope that that's the kind of market that we're developing in Nigeria as well.
Thank you, Nancy. Anything else I should be asking you about your trip to Nigeria that we didn't talk about?
We were there for a graduation for a new program where we actually supported 10 young people to get on an aquaculture farm. They went through college, 4 years of college, got a degree in aquaculture, never saw a fish. So we put them on a fish farm, a successful fish farm in Nigeria, and they studied there for 3 months, and they learned how to feed fish properly. They learned an appreciation for feeding soy meal, and they got a real practical knowledge. And then we've developed their network and our network of future aquaculture farmers in Nigeria. So it's very important for us.
The Soybean Checkoff paid for the internship for those 10 enthusiastic students to make a difference in Nigeria and hopefully become the next buyers of soybeans from the United States. Nancy Cavazanjin, along with us, who has just returned from Nigeria with the United Soybean Board, working to open new marketing opportunities for soybeans within Nigeria's aquaculture sector. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him." GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, they are once again doing work on I-94 in Milwaukee. Dan Schaefer will be here to help us recombobulate on that. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
All right, well, what else you got for us here?
How about nice temps? That's a good one. It is going to be warm. It will be on the above normal side today, no doubt there. Low pressures off to the northwest, a warm front kind of stationary off the western edge of Wisconsin, a cool front south through western Minnesota down to Nebraska, and weather radar indicating very scattered light rain in southeast Wisconsin. and way off in the far northwest, still just west of northwest Wisconsin, but it's going to move east today. Not a big deal. Not a whole lot of rain expected today, but ahead of that cool front and with south winds that gust up near 20 and 25 miles per hour, it's going to be a very, very mild day. Remember, our normals are just in the upper 50s or low 60s. I expect to be in the mid and upper 70s today, way above normal. A real summer feel today with that south wind, but some of that scattered rain to deal with. A little more likely to have some rain through the nighttime or into Saturday, and again Saturday night. Either of those chances, not that big of a deal. I mean, we're talking a couple of tenths of an inch through tonight, and maybe about the same Saturday night, early Sunday. So not going to flood us out, not cause any problems, but a couple of chances of rain. But the big deal is the temperatures so far above normal, like we've talked about today. They start falling, not too much tomorrow, but by Sunday back into the 50s, a much cooler way to wrap up the weekend. And just that quick, we start to see those temps turn around. In fact, back into the 60s as we head toward Monday. But Sunday's going to seem a lot on the cooler side. And on that cooler temperature note, we'll deal with northwest winds. Those northwest winds on Sunday gusting up near 20 and 30 miles per hour. It's really going to feel kind of chilly when you compare it to today, but kind of typical October, I guess, to have that cooler air mass and the stronger winds. But that's just going to be for a day as we wrap up the weekend. Next week, those temps try to moderate again. In fact, back into the 60s by Monday, a little more like normal as we head toward Tuesday and Wednesday. And finally, we start to dry things out again. Not that we've seen a lot of rain, but a couple of chances we've talked about tonight and into Saturday night. And then a very small chance into Monday night. And I'd say then a little drier for a couple of days with more typical temperatures sounding pretty much like October into next week. And maybe staying a bit drier, giving us a little better chance to get things done out in the fields. I'll be back with our forecast details right after this.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Well, Stu, it sounds like this is that Midwestern weather that no one from outside the Midwest would completely understand with these temperature changes. Is that about right?
That's about right. It's going to be all over the place. In fact, our Compeer Financial Ag Weather update is today for more of a partly sunny sky. Some sprinkles in the southeast and northwest this morning, drying out during the day. Call it more partly sunny skies. At least in the low 70s in the north, the upper 70s in the south. The south winds 10 to 20, gusting up near 25 miles per hour today. Mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Could be a rumble of thunder in the night. Nighttime lows dropping into the 50s. Low 50s north, upper 50s south. And the winds out of the south, 5 to 15. Tomorrow, how about a little sunshine, but a slight rain chance in the day. Those temps not quite so mild. Upper 60s and low 70s with a west wind. More likely we have some rain, showers, maybe thunder Saturday night into early Sunday. Mostly cloudy Sunday and a cooler day, a big change. I mean, we're talking low to upper 50s for daytime highs and strong northwest winds, 10 to 20, gusting near 30. So it's going to have that chilly feel to it, Ben, on Sunday. And Monday, at least some sunshine again, maybe back up into the 60s. It's just the roller coaster of autumn going on here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this at least provides some good weather for those that are trying to finish up their corn harvest.
Yeah, and hopefully we get not too much of that rainfall, but the drier conditions, especially on towards Sunday, should help to make a little difference.
And those people that are looking to attend that Wisconsin game tomorrow against Ohio State. I mean, my Illini, that was a horrible game against Ohio State, but maybe at least the weather will be good for them to be out there tomorrow.
Should be a good day for football, no doubt there.
Yeah, everyone will be out there grilling up their brats, hot dogs, and whatnot, starting at probably like 6 a.m., right?
Well, you got to start early if you're going to do it all day. Come on, man.
All right, thank you, Stu. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit compeer.com. Coming up next, we take a listen in to one of our Wisconsin Century Farms.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelly Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Shelly, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history, at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton became the third outspoken critic of President Trump to face criminal charges in as many weeks. Bolton Thursday was indicted on 18 charges, including unlawful retention of national defense information. He's denied wrongdoing. His attorney says the documents were no longer classified. ABC legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer says the Bolton indictment is more detailed than the charges against James Comey or Letitia James.
Is nullifying how John Bolton can say, I didn't know. There are multiple arguments here that the prosecutor is making that shows that he had knowledge and willfully committed this act. I think kind of cutting off any avenue for an argument.
Today, President Trump hosts Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House a day after the president spoke with Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours. And the U.S. struck another suspected drug vessel in the Caribbean, as ABC News has learned three B-52 heavy bombers flew for hours in Caribbean waters. This is ABC News.
Last chance for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where it's do or die for the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. Milwaukee losing again last night 3-1, now down 3-0. The Brewers only have 9 hits in this series so far. The last time that happened in the postseason was in 1906. First pitch tonight at Dodger Stadium, 7:38. NFL, the Packers head to Arizona tomorrow to play the Cardinals. Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with some controversial statements, saying the NFL has a double standard for calling penalties to protect the players on offense and not on defense.
Who are we kidding? You want to fine guys for putting their head down, but you can be engaged with an offensive tackle and a guard can come put his head right into your head. And look how many times that's on film. Guys putting their head down and trying to come clean your clock. But you can't do that to offensive players. Get a $50,000 fine. I might get a fine for this conference.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of New Wisco Weekend, Lisa Hale, to talk some color television. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr comes by with great tunes and fun talks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. A few scattered showers around, mainly during the first half of the day. Otherwise, you can expect gradually increasing sunshine and warm conditions for mid-October, high temperatures in the lower 70s. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid to upper 40s. Currently, it's 59.
At Amory Chevrolet, people come first. Built on trust and hometown values, they offer reliable service and peace of mind with a lifetime warranty on every new Chevrolet, plus select pre-owned and certified vehicles. With the best selection in stock and complete service and parts department, their factory-trained ASE-certified technicians are proven to keep your vehicle running strong. Conveniently located off of Highway 46 on Cornwall Avenue in Amory, Wisconsin. Amory Chevrolet, where they treat people like people every day.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up It never happened.
Indefinitely.
And that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
7 FM, 1670 AM.
The Zone.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report, everybody. I'm Ben Jarboe along with you on this fun Friday morning. And as we heard earlier in the show, it's going to be some pretty good weather this weekend. So if you want to get out there and try some fishing, these fish are moving into their fall patterns. They're going to be coming up into the weeds, whether you want bluegill, bass, pike, muskie, walleye. Fish are moving up all around. Start throwing some of those moving baits. Those fish are going to be chasing, getting fattened up for winter, much like squirrels do because, well, no one likes to be cold. Everyone wants energy to stay warm, even me because, well, you know, I'm from Illinois. It's not quite as cold down there. Does get pretty chilly, though, with the wind chill because we have no hills. But if we look more into Wisconsin, let's take a look at a Century Farm out of Brown County. Here's the Larscheid family giving the history of their farm. The women's suffrage movement, the Treaty of Versailles, and the beginning of the Prohibition. These are all things that were taking place when the Larscheid family farm was getting started in 1919. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and as part of our Century Farm celebration, Bill Larscheid joins me with his wife Debbie and mom Judy to share the history of their Brown County farm that has created many great memories.
My great-grandfather, Henry Sr., purchased the current 80 acres we're on in 1919 and sold it to my grandpa in 2023. My grandfather milked Holsteins and showed Belgian draft horses at the local Brown County Fair. I guess he was pretty popular in that day. Later on, my mother and father bought the property in 1964, and they did most of the Holstein milking. Started out with a small herd of milk cows that me and my brothers and my sisters would milk before school and after school, do the chores, do all the summer stuff. And then my wife and I finally purchased the land and the property in 1996. We bought 20 of the acres. And then in 2005, we purchased it and we ran Black Angus beef on the farm until 2014. So we got rid of the beef in 14 and now we rent the land to a local farmer and he farms it and pays me the rent money.
And when we look at the history, 100 years, that's a long time. Farm has gone through a lot of interesting times throughout history here. What are some of those key things that are stories that you know of through those times of how the farm was able to get through them?
Well, I remember back in the 1970s when we had the drought conditions, our crops weren't doing well. And the local church out in Pulaski asked farmers who had more to pile it on a wagon, and farmers that needed it come and take it and bring the wagon back. And that's basically how our farm in the 70s made it through some of those drought years. Very thankful for my dad was working out at the time that they could afford to keep the family farm running with whatever prices he was getting at the time.
Are there any other stories that you or your family have that you'd like to share that are intriguing, whether it be good or bad things that happened that you're able to get through?
We had a Jeep Wagoneer, and when the fair came around, they would put them into the back of the Jeep. So I'm driving to the pier with pigs, kids, and me in the car. And I'm not the best of drivers, but we made it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that was always a fun experience, just riding around in the back and driving them.
We would have all we could do to catch the pigs in the back of the Wagoneer to put them in the pens at the fair. Granted, they were 40-pounders and springers, but they were still good size.
Yeah, and when you're mentioning that now today, the farm you rented out to other farmers, what are they growing and what are they doing with the land?
Well, this year, they actually tiled our property. We ran untiled ground this whole time, so they ran tile in, and they're running field corn to feed silage to their cattle. And every third year, they'll run a batch of soybeans through it. So it's corn and soybeans out here now.
When you think about how the farm has lasted through these 100 years, what do you think your ancestors, your grandparents, and your mom, what would you say? What do they think about how the farm is doing now?
It's different. I wasn't the farm girl when I got married. I was the cheesemaker's daughter. And I knew about farms, but I learned very quickly. I was pretty good at milking and carrying pails of milk because in the beginning, we carried them from the cow into the milk house and dumped it in, and I was right with them. One other note, though, my husband's sister will be 100 years old in January, so she was here from the start.
From just learning to farm to the fairgrounds to now the fifth generation, the Larscheid family has worked hard to keep their farm going over the last 100 years. This Century Farm interview is brought to you by Compeer Financial. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the markets.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way!
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm!
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility! Yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo along with you, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. As we continue on this fun-filled Friday, I want to have a little more fun by hearing a story that dates back to the last century, into 1952, when Lois Lawson was the Brandon FFA chapter sweetheart. Let's take a listen in to her about what exactly this is and what her time looked like as the sweetheart.
That's 73 years ago. I don't remember all that, except I do remember that there was only boys that could join that FFA. And so I think it was only a couple years that when they started it that they had an FFA sweetheart, and the boys voted on one of the senior girls. And we had 12 girls in our class of 25.
Wow. I mean, it's always cool to take a step back in history and learn from someone that actually lived it and see what it was like before things are the way they are now, before everything was really modernized into what exactly we have today. Well, now I figure we'll see about today and what the markets are looking like. Cash new crop corn is up 1.5 this morning at 4.23 1/4, with cash new crop soybeans up 2.5 at 10.13 1/4. December wheat is up a penny at 5.03 1/2. Taking a look at Class 3 milk, November contracts are up 3 cents at 16.59 a hundredweight, and December contracts are up 3 cents at 16.55 a hundredweight. 40-pound blocks of cheese closed up 6 cents yesterday at 176 3/4, but butter closed down 4 1/4 at 162 3/4. Pam Yonke focuses on energy next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine. A week in review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conversation with our friends from Focus on Energy. Now, remember, this is a service that's all about trying to find energy savings for you, no matter the size of the project, no matter what you're doing. And you can get a little sense of all the information they've got available online now. FocusOnEnergy.com. They've got energy advisors scattered all across the state of Wisconsin. And in fact, we're talking to a fresh face now that just joined up with the Focus on Energy group. Terry Pernsteiner joining us, one of our new Focus on Energy advisors. Terry, tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up in agriculture? How did you become a part of the Focus on Energy crew?
Yeah, hi. I did grow up on a very small dairy farm back in the day when I think everybody had a farm on the street and on the road. And that's where I got some background with that. So familiar with dairy farms. And then recently I went back to school for energy efficiency. Learned about different energy efficiency programs and measures you can do for your home, residential, or farm. And that's my background on that portion of it.
Well, we're glad to have you with Focus on Energy, that is for sure. Now, let's talk about the territory, where you live, and where might they see your smiling face show up, Terry?
I'm out of the Fond du Lac area, and I service the southeast area from Fond du Lac County, Sheboygan County, south all the way down to the Illinois border. I would also catch Dane County is the farthest I go to the west, Dane County and Greene County.
All right. Well, you got some miles on you then. That's has only been in the job for a few months. Let's talk a little bit about some of the projects that might be top of mind right now, Terry. You know, I mentioned the combines are rolling. The harvest is underway. Probably not the ideal time to second guess what's going on with your grain dryers, but focus on energy. Happy to step in if you want to take a look at some of that energy use during the harvest season, right?
Yes, we suggest upgrading your grain dryer to a more energy-efficient grain dryer. It'll help you lower costs and electric costs on your fuel. It'll save crop protection from over-drying, extend the lifespan of your equipment. Overall, it's going to be a better program for your dryer for maintenance as well.
Now, considering how dry some of this crop is going to be coming in, does Focus on Energy still offer that service if I'm going to have an open dryer yet this fall? Can they do it yet this fall, or is this a next year only kind of thing?
Yeah, well, this would be typically something they'd plan ahead for the year ahead. If your dryer's, you know, what needs to be more efficient, then you want to plan through the winter and then have it for next year.
Sure.
Installed for next season.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. You know, speaking of planning, there are some folks that are probably bouncing around in a combine cab or a semi cab or something like that, thinking about 2026. Maybe they want to add on a shed or maybe they want to try something new. Focus on Energy really wants to be involved in those conversations as early as possible, don't you?
Yes, that's a good point. We'd like to have you plan ahead so we can meet with you and discuss any energy efficiency measures that we can help with you with on your farm, whatever expansion or new building you're putting up. Also, we do offer incentives for retrofit if you're fixing up your existing building. So it's good to plan, reach out to energy advisor in your area to discuss options for you.
Right. Well, and you guys love to work with the trades too. So if there's a trade partner listening that has something that might qualify for some of the fantastic energy savings, you'd like to reach out to talk with them too.
Yes. Yeah. We work closely with the trade allies to help the dairy farmers with using the right products that are more energy efficient that can help save energy as well as saving costs for the farmer.
Right. Yeah, and you bet. And believe me, folks, it's not just about dairy farming. It's about any type of agribusiness, from greenhouses right on through to, like you said, grain storage facilities. FocusOnEnergy.com can help you get started by finding good folks like Terry Pernsteiner up in that Fond du Lac area. They are some of the Focus on Energy advisors that will come out, do an evaluation. Maybe you've been a part of that already, Terry. Maybe you can walk them through when you show up on the scene to do an energy audit. What kinds of things do you do?
Yes, I met with one dairy farm. He was building a new rotary dairy farm. And we discussed, you know, we have a catalog. We suggest looking at our agribusiness catalog online. Or I have one I can give to the customer. And we discuss all options, whether it's fans, lighting, any other equipment they're going to install so they can make sure they're installing energy efficient equipment that would qualify for our incentives through the agribusiness program.
I know that you energy advisors bird dog a lot of the details that might otherwise really confound and confuse the potential client too.
Yes, that's what we're here for. We're trying to make it more central for us to make it easier for everybody, the trade ally and the farmer, so you're not confused or conflicted about what qualifies and doesn't qualify for incentives. So we like to discuss that with you and make our recommendations what you should do.
Yeah. And like I said, folks, if you're just joining us, this is a fresh face that's helping us with those Focus on Energy projects. His name, Terry Pernsteiner. He's up in the Fond du Lac area covering a good chunk of southeast Wisconsin. You want to get in touch with any of your energy advisors, I'll remind you again, FocusOnEnergy.com will get you there. Or you can call them, too, 800-762-7077. That's 800-762-7077. And I imagine pretty quick here, Terry, you're going to get a lot of folks that you're going to have to either prompt or work with to get 2025 projects wrapped up and get those rebates coming their way, right?
Yes, we do have an installation deadline would be December 31st, 2025. if you want to wrap it up for this year. And then we recommend you get that paperwork into us by January 31st of 2026. So again, I recommend reaching out to the energy advisor that can help you through that to make sure everything gets completed on time for 2025.
Yeah, and you definitely want to see those rebate checks. That's for sure. That's what it's all about. They help you. They hold your hand. They work with your trades. They find you the energy efficiencies you're looking for, no matter the size of project. Or like Terry said, those retrofits will qualify as well. Start the process today. Thinking about something new in 2026? Now is a good time to begin the discussion. Go to focusonenergy.com or call 800-762-7077. That's 800-762-7077. And maybe you'll be lucky enough to get our friend Terry Pernsteiner, fresh face, brand new energy advisor with Focus on Energy from the Fond du Lac area, to step in and help you with your project. Along with Terry Pernsteiner for Focus on Energy, I'm PM Yankee.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yankee.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Some of the scariest looking pumpkins never make it to Halloween. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. When I was a kid growing up on the farm long, long ago, I never gave a thought to the potential risks involved in some of the work I was doing. Looking back, it's a miracle I survived. If your children are doing farm work, make sure they know how to do that work safely. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Finding decent pumpkins for Halloween can be a challenge in the southern United States, thanks to a crop pest called the melon worm. Aaron Cato is an extension entomologist at the University of Arkansas.
The first thing that we have found in our trials is that melon worm doesn't come to all pumpkins equally. It is attracted to some types of pumpkins more than others. And honestly, it's a bit of a sad thing, but they're most attracted to jack-o'-lanterns, which, you know, are the largest amount of pumpkins that we're growing for the fall market.
Cato says melon worms feed on the leaves and the fruit of pumpkins and similar plants like squash and watermelon. The results can be pretty ugly and costly to farmers, says Cato, especially if the crop is not treated with a pesticide in due time.
What we found in our data is that our untreated is obviously 20 to 40% fruit loss, but pretty much every other treatment that we looked at, whether we scouted or we redid a calendar spray, we were able to effectively control them. So the second we found melon worm, we applied either our broad spectrum insecticides or a category specific or organic. All of them did a great job.
Melon worms don't venture out beyond tropical and subtropical climates, which is why they're not a concern farther north in the U.S. In affected areas, farmers are encouraged to scout fields early in the fall each year. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we'll ask our Week in Review panel all about the protest plan for Saturday against things like trying to have your political opponents arrested, troops in the streets, rampant inflation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Government shutdowns, and more.
It's
the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump hosts Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today at the White House. On Thursday, the president spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours and said the sides agreed to high-level talks next week. The U.S. continues to escalate tensions in the Caribbean. A U.S. official says the military conducted another airstrike targeting a suspected drug vessel in the region. The tensions are focused on Venezuela, says ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Trump blames Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro for drugs coming into the U.S. and is trying to pressure him to step down. The administration offering $50 million for information leading to his arrest and conviction on drug charges.
John Bolton's the latest critic of former President Trump to face criminal charges, indicted on 18 counts related to mishandling classified information. He has denied wrongdoing. He served as national security advisor in the first Trump White House. This is ABC News.
You're listening to